This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. We're going to get you ready for softball season at Wichita State. We have Neely Herring and Madison Espinoza. Shockers play five games this weekend in Huntsville, Texas. They start Friday. They play Dayton. They play Sam Houston State in the Bearcat Classic. Neely is a senior first baseman. She was on the All-American Athletic Conference team and the NFCA All-Central Region second team last season. She hit 375, 10 home runs, and a team-leading 13 doubles. Neely is from Chandler, Oklahoma. Madison is a sophomore infielder from St. Louis. She was on the American Athletic Conference All-Academic team in 2021, and they're going to get us started on softball. So you have a long bus ride coming. What's the best way to pass the time on a bus ride to Huntsville?
Besides sleeping, I don't know. I like to read, so I always have two books that I can maybe pull out and, you know, just spend an hour or whatever and read a little bit. But some people have, like, game consoles. We have a lot of people that have, like, Nintendo Switches and stuff like that, so we'll play games and do that kind of stuff.
I just listen to music. I feel the whole way there.
Yeah. We should probably tell people Huntsville is, you're almost to Houston, right? So it's probably, what, at least 10, 12 hours?
I don't know exactly. I think it was like 7.5 when I checked it. So not quite that long, but you're still on the bus.
You're on the bus a long time.
Yeah.
All right. What books are you taking on this trip?
I've got a Stephen King book. I can't remember what it's called, but that's what I like to read. I like the kind of thrillers or kind of like scary type stuff, but nothing too crazy.
Madison, what's your playlist? Do you have it queued up and ready to go?
I'll probably use the playlist that I use for our hitting rotation. We went through this thing where, starting from the oldest to the youngest, we would all have a playlist each day for our hitting rotation. So I'll probably be listening to that, getting in the zone, maybe some motivational speeches just to get me ready. Because, you know, we got to be hyped. We got to be ready to go. And we always are.
Do you have a favorite motivational speaker, someone you listen to a lot?
No, but, I mean, I listen to a broad array of speakers, but I would say that a good person to listen to, I like C.T. Fletcher. He's like a ex-bodybuilder type strength coach, and he always has something good to say.
Who brings the best junk food?
Oh, Erin McDonald. She always has, like, the Nerd ropes or, Sweet Tart ropes.
Yeah, I bought her some.
Yeah, she likes the gummies and all that stuff, so she's usually the hookup with candy or anything like that.
And you wouldn't expect it either, because she's so slim.
But she likes stuff. Candy, yeah.
She's got the sweet tooth. Any big bakers, anybody bring cookies, things like that, that they make at home?
Our trainer, Katie, likes to bake, so she'll bring, like, snacks. And, of course, Coach B has brought, like, stuff before, too, or they've made us snack bags before and passed them out on the bus, so we've got quite a few people.
Is there a favorite bus trip movie or TV shows that people request?
Watching Yellow Jacket.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's a new TV series out. I don't know if it's a movie or a series. But, yeah, Yellow Jackets, which I guess somebody said they heard it being talked about on the radio, and it's kind of like a, Coach B said, like a Lord of the Flies, but with girls instead of, like, boys.
It's supposed to be inspirational. I bet it's going to be.
Yeah.
Everything she gives us is inspirational, which I live for.
She does do that a lot. I've done several stories on that over the years, whether it's been, I know one year she had the team pick a team that had won NCAA basketball championships, kind of do research on that. What's she come up with lately? She's had books that I know she's had to read as a group and discuss. What's been this year's project?
We did a little reading assignment on
Pound the Stone. Is the book, I think that's the title of it. That's the main focus of it. It's kind of like, you know, you show up every day, you grind, you do your work, you put your work in, and then when it comes game time, you trust what you've done, and that kind of allows you to relax and get out there and perform well.
And it might not always show, you know, all the hard work might not always show right away, but if you just continue to be persistent and persevere through everything, you know, at some point you're going to break through and you're gonna be on top.
Is that a big flip or switch to flip? Because in high school, in a lot of cases, you were just really good and you were just better than other people, and maybe you didn't have to grind. Maybe you didn't have to pound the stone, but you got to you know, you hit college and now you realize that's important?
Yeah, it's definitely something you learn. Just the speed of the game here and the competition is just so different than from where you come from. I came from, you know, small town Chandler, so it wasn't like I couldn't just go out there and show up and be one of the best ones on the field. But you come here and you're like, well, there's 23 kids that are just as good as me who want it just as bad as I do. So you just have to find what you can do to kind of set yourself apart and make yourself better.
So Madison, you mentioned the practice playlists that I was going to get to. Describe that, and then I'll ask a couple questions about who had good ones and who had the worst ones.
My playlist is full of just good vibes. Nothing that's super insane. I'm not really into rap. It's not really my thing because I feel like rap kind of goes a different way nowadays. That's kind of too provocative. I need something that's going to just put me in a good mood, maybe get me a little hyped, a little dance mood. So basically, I just got a whole bunch of songs that I could just get up and dance to.
So Coach Brett Benner had everybody got to put together a playlist for practices. Yes. That's what the plan was. Who had the best one?
I think my favorite so far has been Sid McKinney's. I mean, she's just good at everything. I mean, she's All-American. She's a great teammate. There's nothing that girl can't do. So, you know, I didn't expect anything less even just for her playlist, and she came out on top for me.
Yeah, I liked Kate. Kate had a good one. She kind of mixed in some country, and then she kind of threw it back to, like, the Jonas Brothers or, like, Hannah Montana stuff that, like, when we were younger, everybody kind of would sing, and so it was just kind of fun to have that playing.
What was on Sydney McKinney's playlist?
She had a bunch of just mellow music. Nothing too insane, but it's like, it's still got a good beat. I really like Sam Smith, so when she had that on there, or Demi Lovato is my all-time favorite. And she had like three songs on there. She's like, Maddie, this is for you. And I was like, you know, that's it.
I'm surprised your playlist wasn't straight.
Oh, Demi. I know. Demi's my girl, and that's why she's my walk-up song, because, you know, she just brings those confident woman vibes, and I'm all for women empowerment and everything. So everything she stands for is something that I kind of align myself with.
Anybody have a clunker that maybe they regretted after it played?
I don't think we had any, like, you know, there may have been some that there was like one song that might have been, you know, this one's a little slow for me, but like everybody's just been pretty solid.
Are you concerned the coaches are just going to be total 70s and 80s that nobody's going to recognize?
I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, I kind of like the oldies sometimes. Yeah. Nobody really knows that about me. Like, I don't even think anyone on the team knows that about me, but I really do vibe with the old songs.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
That's kind of my thing.
And I'm excited to see each coach, the differences between them. Because usually, before we did this, they just kind of throw something on and we just kind of, you know, roll with it. But it'll be fun to see each coach's different.
All right, let's talk about softball. So, as has been well documented, Shockers swept the conference titles last year, set a bunch of records, beat Texas A&M twice in NCAA regional play. So, what lessons, what experiences do you take from 2021 and use them moving ahead in this season?
The biggest thing for me, last year our team chemistry was awesome throughout the season. We had some kind of struggles in the fall to finding that team chemistry, but once we found it and we jumped right into season, you know, it was there all year. Everybody was kind of in the same boat, rowing together, pulling for each other. So to me, that's huge for us. If we can find that, and we're working on it and building it right now, but when we jump into games and stuff, if we can all just get behind each other, then I think we can have just as much success as we did last year.
I definitely agree, because you can have a full field of talent, but if you don't get along with each other, that talent kind of goes down the drain. Because you have to be there for your teammates, you have to back them up, and that's what really gets us through the whole season. Yeah, we play well, we hit well, you know, obviously we hit really well last year. You know, we always have strong defense, but if you don't have that connection, it's going to show, and it's going to halt your play.
So building that chemistry, does that start with the coaches or does it start with the players? Who's got more responsibility there?
I think it's both. You know, coaches can do what they can do to say, hey, you know, this is how we need to be as a team. This is what we're going to do, pound the stone and all that stuff. But it also starts with the players and the leaders on the team going, hey, this is what we want to do. We want to go to a regional. We want to go to a super. We want to win conference again. And this is how we have to do it. And so I think it's just a combination of both both sides of it.
So Madison, what's your role in building that chemistry?
I would say I'm someone people can look to. I feel like I'm a pretty reliable teammate. I'm always there for them because, I don't know, that's just kind of how I was raised. And I feel like that is my job on this team. My job on this team is to motivate, to get them, you know, fired up, to get them focused. And I feel like I do that part by just bringing the energy every day, bringing the positivity, and trying to make sure that everybody feels like they're welcome. I make that a goal every year. Since I was a freshman, my freshman year, I feel like we kind of struggled to get that chemistry in the fall. And, you know, maybe they weren't as open as they could have been with us. So every year I've made it a main focus in the fall to make sure that all our freshmen feel like they're a part of this family. Because we are a family. And that's what's so great about our team is we're not just players. We're not just, you know, competing for a spot. We're family through and through. I mean, we ride and die together through anything. And I feel like that's something that I stand for and everybody knows that I stand for. And I always show it.
Neely, how about you? What's your job on this team in that area?
I feel like, you know, she's the hype man, the heart, the big energy, and I try to kind of balance that out, and I like to talk through things, so I like to, if somebody's having a rough day, or if I'm having a rough day, I like to talk with somebody and say, hey, let's calm it down, you know, we're good, we've practiced, we've done this, so I try to kind of, you know, help spread that out and keep everybody even keel, and just
she's done great at that this year. I mean, she's really stepped up as a leader this year, honestly, because Neely's a quiet girl. She's not super loud. I'm very energetic and loud and just out there. Neely's never been that way, but she stepped up this year, and every day she gives us some words of wisdom that everybody is just, like, taken back from, because she just knows what to say to get us going, and I feel like she's really stepped up to the plate this year for that.
Yeah, so we kind of talk about leadership things until you actually play softball, and then we can talk about softball things. So I asked this to Aaron McDonald and Caitlin Bingham earlier this week. Was it a conscious decision over the summer? Were you thinking, all right, well, Riley Buck's not here anymore. Madison Perrigan's not here anymore. Somebody's going to have to step up and say something, and maybe that's something I need to prepare myself for. How do you approach it from that? Is there a strategy to saying, all right, this is my time to maybe do something different than I've done?
100%. I think especially me going into it, like you said, we lost the Riley Bucks, we lost the Bailey Langs, Butters. So I knew that if we didn't prepare for that, there was going to be that felt absence. And of course there always is starting the year, but by this time you want to kind of go, okay, this is our team now, this is who we feel confident in. And so I kind of did have to prepare myself and go, like she said, I'm not a big talker. I'm kind of a hangout, you know, here, let's go, like, have a good time
person. She shows it. She shows through her leadership.
Yeah.
That's what she did before. She just showed by her play
and
her hard work.
Yeah. And so this year I was like, okay, like, start giving the little bitty things after practice or, hey, let's, you know, we got to focus on this. Just little things like that. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. But I just wanted to kind of take that next step and just be a little bit more vocal to kind of fill that, what last year's team had left.
So how many random people stopped you over the summer or texted you maybe in the fall when you got back here and said, hey, I saw you on TV last spring. That was really cool. Was that kind of a recurring thing over the last 5 or 6 months?
Yeah. Honestly, because our team did so well, and then I had an interview about high chews, and everybody thought it was like the greatest thing ever. They thought it was hilarious. So I got a whole bunch of texts, and I was like, I mean, it was great, but my team is even better. And that's why I was like so pumped about doing the interview, because I was like, I get to talk about my teammates and I love them. So
yeah, we had, I think one of my parents' friends were in some restaurant or something, and they actually had the game on the TV, like, you know, after everything had happened, and they're like, oh, you know, we were watching. And so that's always cool to see that, and just to get to go back and remember, because it was so fun last year, and to be able to remember that and then look forward to this year and go, we can make it just as fun, we can make it even better, and
even
so it's
better.
Exciting.
All right, let's help out some of the fans who are going to be tracking the Shockers and coming out to Wilkins Stadium later this spring. Hit them with a newcomer or maybe a returner who played some last year but's going to be stepping into a larger role. Who's somebody they should be paying attention to as things get started?
I think a newcomer that everyone should know about is Allison Cooper. She's a lefty pitcher. I mean, the girl has improved so much from fall. She has freaky movement. It's insane. I mean, we all struggle to hit against her, and we have one of the best. I mean, last year was a clear sign that we have one of the best, you know, offenses, and we struggle against her. And I think that maybe people don't know about her as much, and they should be looking out for her because she is a stellar pitcher.
Describe freaky movement.
She has everything in the book. I mean, she has curve, drop curve. She has just every pitch you can think about. She has rise. She has everything. Her changeup is nasty. They've been working on it, and they've been persistent on getting that better, and they have done. They have done what they set out to achieve. And I think that she is so ready to step in that circle, and she's going to destroy it.
All right, good tip. Neely, who do you recommend people take attention to?
Well, of course, we have our two transfers, Ariel James and Zoe Jones, who are going to come in and kind of fill in some places in that lineup and are going to be good defensively. They've got experience out there. You know, Ariel's been doing this for a while. We like to joke and say she's the old lady on the team, her sixth year. But, you know, they're going to bring a lot of experience and a lot of excitement to it. I think somebody that I was, like, pumped about was Kristen in our scrimmages recently. I mean, she hit, like, I don't know how many doubles, but it was just double after double after double. And I was like, she is just squaring the ball up like crazy. So she's one that could definitely, I could see getting in there and get to the bats.
Sure.
And you're talking about Kristen Nelson?
Yes.
She's an infielder from
Texas,
third baseman.
Yeah.
And then let's make sure people, Ariel James, transfer from Houston. She plays second?
Yes.
Okay. And then Zoe Jones is the transfer from Texas Tech. She is a third baseman primarily.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Let's get people. Make sure we're filling in the gaps there. Madison, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that Kristen Nelson's glove is just, it's impeccable. I mean, the girl has such range, and like Neely said, her hitting has improved so much. I mean, she was hitting doubles left and right.
Doubles queen.
Left
that's
and right.
Three-day scrimmage.
Okay.
She's ready.
Doubles are good. Doubles are good. What did you learn about this team in the fall scrimmages?
We're still, you know, ready to compete. We hit the ball well. We pitched well. And I think a lot of people, especially in the beginning of the year, were kind of like focusing on that people that we lost, which is understandable. You know, you lose people like Madison Perrigan, you're going to feel that. But, you know, we showed in the fall that we're back at it. We're still going to be just as good as we were last year. We're still ready. We believe in this team just as much as we believed in the one last year. So for me, that was really awesome to see that we're still ready to go. We're still ready to fight.
Yeah, I agree. I came in and I was like, I don't know if we're going to be as successful as we were last year because I didn't know the talent that was coming in. But once I saw our team and how we, you know, we performed, I was like, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that we could be way better than the team that we were last year, even with losing such fundamental players.
So Neely, you were a freshman in 2018. That NCAA regional team went to Arkansas, beat Oklahoma State twice. Then the Shockers did not play in the NCAA in 2019. We know that COVID shut down 2020. So all those experiences that you've had and then getting back to regional play last year, how do you pass on to maybe the younger players, the new players that, you know, last year's success, there's no guarantee. You got to put in a lot of work.
Yeah. It's all about focusing on the team that we have now. You know, we like to celebrate what we did last year, what we've done in the past, and what Coach B's done with this program has just been amazing. But we also have to go, look, this is the here and now. This is what matters now. Last year's over. Put it in the books and kind of say, you know, let's look forward to what we're doing now. Let's be excited about what we get to do now. Let's enjoy every game, especially being my last one. I'm trying to soak everything in, have a good time, be out there, and just do everything I can to help the team. And so I try to kind of share that with everybody else. Just be excited. Let's have fun. We get to play softball.
So, Maddie, the Hi-Chew candy became just an essential part of last season's fun, I think. And you were the originator of that. You were the spark that got Hi-Chews going. Tell us that story.
Well, we were out of town, and we were about to get on the bus, and Coach was like, hey, do you guys want anything? I'm going to go into the store. And I was like, Coach, can you please get me some Hi-Chews? She was like, what is that? But she found them. She came on the bus. She had two big bags. And she was like, Maddie, I got them. And I was like, ah. And then everybody on the bus was like, I want to try them. Everybody tried them. They enjoyed them. And then all the coaches tried them. And they're like, this is it. You know, with the pandemic, we couldn't shake hands, give high fives. You know, we obviously have to keep our distance. So coach was like, I'm going to throw them out for home runs. And it just became a big thing. And now we're the Hi-Chew Queens.
And Hi-Chew sent Wichita State a bucket of Hi-Chews.
Yeah,
did
we
I
might
see
need
that?
More because, you know, we're very talented.
Right, exactly. You need a lot of Hi-Chews if you're going to hit a lot of home runs. Is Hi-Chews, is that a St. Louis thing? Or did you come up with your love for that candy?
I don't know if it's a St. Louis thing, but I know that my mother knows that I don't really like chocolate or anything of the sort. So I always like fruit-flavored candy. And she saw that they had mango, so she was like, I got to get this for Maddie. And she did, and I fell in love with them instantly. And I eat them every day. So it just became a thing.
What's your favorite flavor of Hi-Chew?
Mango.
Mango. Neely, what about your?
Mango is my least favorite. But I'll tell you, every time in the fall or anything, if I hit a home run, I know I'm catching that mango Hi-Chew. But I like the strawberry, personally. But.
Describe Hi-Chew for people who have not had that.
It's almost like a Starburst, but better.
Yeah.
But it has kind of a taffy, really strong flavors. It's just, it's so delicious.
Lots of pets on this team. That's one of the interesting things about Shocker softball. Maddie, you have a dog and two guinea pigs. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
What are their names?
My dog's name is Cruz, and I have two guinea pigs, and one's name is S'mores. The other one is Sugar. Coach actually bought me one of my guinea pigs as a gift. It was really, it was a beautiful story. I had a guinea pig. His name was Hank. He kind of was like our team pet. Everybody knew about him. Everybody came over to see him. He was a big part of everything. I even brought him to the field one time. He passed away. I was distraught, to say the least. And Coach B and everybody on the team was just so supportive of me in that moment. We took that week and we swept UCF. And I remember Butters in the middle was like, this one's for Hank. We're sweeping them this weekend. And we did just that. And then we came back on the bus and I was like, why is Lainey here? My roommate, which is one of our catchers, she was injured last year. But I was like, why is Lainey here? She comes up and she had s'mores in her hand. And I was like, oh my gosh. And Coach bought her for me. And I was like, I mean, that's just how Coach is. She's just a genuine person. I mean, obviously she's, you know, she's going to get on to us on the field. She's going to, you know, get us ready. But she also has just one of the kindest hearts. And she bought me that guinea pig and I swear, I'm never going to forget that.
So Hank the guinea pig played an important role in, this was last season,
yes.
In last season's
yes.
Success. Interesting. I didn't know that. How did you get into guinea pigs?
Honestly, it was kind of an idea from my ex-boyfriend. And he was like, let's get one together. So we did. And that's, Hank was the guinea pig we got together. And then I was like, I got to keep getting more because obviously I love them. And they're not too much to handle, so I was like, it's good for the softball season. And then this year, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to get a dog. And I did that. I'm kind of spontaneous, as Caitlin Bingham would say.
Neely, what's your pet situation?
Actually, my landlord, we aren't allowed to have pets, but I am a big dog person, so that's the first thing I'm doing after I get done with school and all that, and I get back to Oklahoma is get me a dog.
Can't you just imagine her with like a big old dog, like a Great Dane, you know, for this 6-footer?
So Madison, if you follow Shocker Softball on social media, you saw the tattoo. Tell us about the tattoo. Describe that for people who have not seen it.
Well, I have shocks in my lower lip. It was spontaneous. You know, I live and die for Shocker Nation. I would die for anyone on this team, even the coaches. I love them all. And, you know, we've kind of built this sisterhood. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a tattoo that includes Shocker Nation because there's nothing better than Shocker Nation. So I went to go get another tattoo, and two of my fellow teammates actually went with me. Kristen Nelson and Allison Cooper went. And I got that tattoo, and it was just like a memory you're never going to forget. And, I mean, I didn't even feel the pain because I was like, this is for Shocker Nation, so I don't even feel anything. I mean, it's gotten me some views because it's out there. I'm not afraid to say that I live for Shocker Nation.
And when she said she would die for Shark Nation,
I really would.
She would die for Shark Nation.
I put my whole life on the line.
Maddie, the team needs you to jump in front of that bus. She would jump in front of that bus. That's just how devoted she is.
I wanted to show my devotion. Awesome. You're right. That's a good word. I wanted to show how committed I am to Shocker Nation. And what better way to do it than a tattoo that's going to be on your skin for a while. And it's in my lip. So, you know, it's a sensitive area, but I was willing to do it. I was willing to go through anything for Shocker Softball.
I was curious about that. Is it more painful than a regular tattoo?
It wasn't too bad. I'd say my worst tattoo was probably on my ankle. But the lip, I mean, it definitely was a little bit uncomfortable because I had to hold it in a specific position. And there was, like, spit. I was like, okay. And, you know, it's a tattoo, so it's not going to be something that's, you know, painless, but there was a little pain.
And does it last as long on the inside of your mouth as a tattoo
it's
on your shoulder?
It's only supposed to last a few years, but best believe when I'm graduated, I will be getting a Shocker tattoo as a memory, because this is something that I'm never going to forget. I mean, I've only been here 3 years, but I'm considered a sophomore because COVID, but the 2 years or 3 years that I've been here have really, you know, they've changed me as a person in a better way. And I think that it's just something that I'm never going to forget, because this whole program is just spectacular. I mean, we're Shocker spectacular.
Yeah, that's the great thing about how Coach B runs everything and how Coach E and Presley, and when you're here, it's not just about being the Shocker softball player. Like, you grow so much, you learn so much, you'll never forget. Just like I said, I'm never going to forget these 5 years that I've been here, and that there forever will be some best memories of that.
For sure.
It's like a Shocker spectacular that just didn't fit on the inside of your lip, so you had to
shorten
it.
I was thinking about, I wanted to get Shocker Nation, like the Shocker on the top lip and the Nation on the bottom, but then I was like, you know, I don't think it's going to fit. And I was really bummed about that, but I was like, hey, Shocks is good, you know. So I had to get it. I had to get it, and it's, you know, I'm never going to forget it.
Sydney McKinney, we mentioned her, shortstop, had a great season last season. She was Conference Player of the Year, All-American. Let's wrap up by just giving people some insight. What has made her such a great hitter?
She's calm and collected. I mean, I've never seen that girl nervous since I've been here. She just knows that she has prepared for this moment, and she embraces the moment when she gets up to bat. She is so ready for anything. When she's fielding, she's ready for it. I mean, there's nothing that she is not prepared for. They say when you prepare, you don't have fear. And she doesn't have fear because she knows that she's put in that work.
Yeah, she's just a gamer. I mean, you can see it. Anytime we're out on the field, anytime we're stepping in between the lines to play a game, she's just ready to go. She's ready to compete. And she trusts her own abilities, as she should, because as she's proven, I mean, she's awesome. All-American.
What more can you say? One more, literally. You don't even need to say anymore. But Sid, you know, Sid's not even just a great player. She's a great person. A great person to look up to. A leader. I mean, she's just amazing all around. And I think that it shows when she comes on the field. Not only is she a good player, but she's a good person, a good teammate. She's somebody you just... I don't know, she says anything to you, you're like, oh my God, like, you take it to heart because she's just such an impeccable person.
And I gotta say, the best throwing partner that you could ever have.
What makes her a good throwing partner?
Well, she's always out there first, so she always beats me out there, and I'm, you know, gets me hustling to get over there, and we don't take too long, you know, some of the outfielders and people like to throw a lot, and me and Sid, we're just like, get in there, get it done, and get ready for practice.
And are you paired together because she plays shortstop, you played first base, so that's just kind of a natural pairing, or how does that work?
Actually, a couple years ago, I think it just kind of happened, and it was just like, oh, you know, Sid, you need a partner? Okay, and then, you know, once you get a throwing partner, you're pretty much throwing partners for life. And so ever since then, I was feeling pretty bad when I had to go on a boot for a little bit in the fall, and Maddie had to take over my throwing partner.
Yeah, me and Sid are pretty close as well, but, you know, the connection that these two got, you know, it's never going to be broken. Even when she's gone next year, which is going to be a heartbreaking moment for me, you know, I'm probably going to bawl my eyes out because she's such a great, just a great person. I mean, the connection they have is, you can't break it.
I'm not going to pretend I've watched, you know, millions of hours of softball hitters, but one thing that stands out to me about Sydney is she seemed to have an amazing ability to hit bad pitches,
yes,
to just take it and just kind of flip it over the second baseman, all those kind of things. Is that something that really stands out about
yes,
her?
Yes, as I would say, she's got the whip. I mean, no matter where that ball is, she's getting that barrel to it. She's getting to it. And she always gets on because, I don't know, she just always manages to hit it where they're not.
I mean, I've seen her hit balls over her head for base hits, doubles. I mean, she can just put that bat. She's got such good bat head control and hand-eye coordination. I mean, she can put that bat head wherever she needs to, no matter where the ball is. And that's why she only strikes out once or twice the whole season.
I think I've only ever seen it twice.
Yeah.
And when it happens, I'm like,
yeah,
what just happened? You know, because it's seldom.
Yeah,
it's
she's,
seldom.
I mean, the hardest out in the conference, yeah, like, easily. I mean, maybe
I feel like she might even, yeah, I feel like maybe
just,
the whole,
she's just hard
whole softball nation, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just biased
yeah,
because
I mean,
Sid's so good, but,
I
mean, I've seen that girl hit balls in the dirt, and I'm like, how
yeah.
did she do that?
Yeah.
And it's
just,
it's
not
unbelievable.
Just, not just touching them either.
She'll,
I mean,
she
hits a
right
base
them.
Hits, extra base
right.
hits.
Has Allison Cooper struck her out?
No, I don't think so, but I don't know if she's gotten, like, amazing hits off of her. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it because Sid hits off everyone, but Allie,
but that
really,
is a good matchup in
yes.
the scrimmage and stuff. Coming from the left side,
mm-hmm.
Allie, when she gets in the circle, you can tell she's got that gamer
she's,
mentality. Too.
She's determined.
She's
I swear, she came back so determined. Me and my roommate, Bailey Irvine, were talking about her, and we were like, she is so determined, and you can see it. When she steps in that circle, she's like, I got this. You know, she just has this, she just believes in herself, and that, it's all a mindset. I mean, any position you play, it's about your mindset, and she has that mindset. So, I mean, if you got talent and you got the mindset, I mean, you're really a force to be messed with. I mean, she's just too good at the game.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.